four horns and four carpenters, the second vision. Then lifted I up mine eyes, and saw, and behold, four horns. And I said unto the angel that talked with me, What be these? And he answered me, These are the horns which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. And the Lord showed me four carpenters. Then said I, What come these to do? And he spake, saying, These are the horns which have scattered Judah, so that no man did lift up his head. But these four carpenters are come to fray them, to cast out the horns of the Gentiles, which lifted up their horn over the land of Judah to scatter it. Zechariah 1, verses 18 through 21. The second of these night visions is a continuation of the comforting assurances of blessing contained in the first, or at least it is closely connected with it. The teaching concerns the Gentile nations against whom the Lord is sore displeased. They have been cruel and destructive to Judah, and they shall be cast down and destroyed. The first scene had passed away, and no doubt the prophet was absorbed in what he saw, and lost in thought. He lifted up his eyes again, and there is another scene before him. Not only are these moving picture messages flashed upon his physical sight, but his spiritual vision is illuminated, and he understands the meaning of these glorious sights. He beholds four horns, and the answer is given immediately. These are the horns which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. Horns in Scripture invariably symbolize power, oftentimes so interpreted by the inspired writers themselves. Compare Daniel 7, verses 7 and 8, Daniel 8, verses 8 and 9, Revelation 13, 1, and Revelation 17, 3 and 22. Likewise, in this case, they refer to kingdoms. The number 4 is also significant, as it is the world number, and in this place symbolizes the world powers which have set themselves against the ancient people and the land of Jehovah, and still continue doing so even unto the present day, as is plainly evident in the world. The prophet Daniel emphasizes the number 4 in two instances which it may be profitable to consider for further light. In Daniel 2, there is the great dream image portrayed. It was composed of four different metals, gold, silver, brass, and iron. These symbolize four world powers, as all reputable Bible teachers agree. These four kingdoms, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome, have successively ruled over the Jews during these 2,520 years of Gentile times, whether in greater or lesser degree. The Lord holds the nations which comprised those kingdoms responsible for all the sorrow, devastation, and suffering which have befallen his earthly people. The Roman Empire is symbolized by its very end phase, iron and clay. This kingdom is still in existence, in a somewhat disrupted condition. It will be revived and continue until the stone falls from heaven, smiting the feet and grinding the whole image to powder. Daniel 2, verse 34. Daniel's second reference to four is found in Daniel 7. We see four mighty, ferocious beasts, the last one having 10 horns, just as the legs of the image ended with feet having 10 toes. Therefore, we have the key to these four horns which Zechariah beholds in the second vision. But here in Zechariah's prophecy, they have an added significance. They refer to the revived Roman Empire, which will be in existence during the time of Jacob's trouble, Daniel 9:27. It will have its restoration in the beginning of Judah's restoration. These two purposes line up together in their fulfillment. The four elements found in the previous kingdoms, which ruled over the Jews during the times of the Gentiles, will be found in this last empire, Rome. That is, there will be the boastful, proud, arrogant phase of the Babylonian Empire, with the overspreading, ponderous, slow but sure elements found in the Medo-Persian Empire, while the agile, cunning, cruel, tigerous quality of the Grecian Empire will be most manifest and not lacking. But rather hidden will be the powerful, brutal, weighty phase found in the Roman Empire of the former days. Notice Revelation 13. We say all these elements will be found in the Confederacy of European Nations, which is even now coming into existence and answers to the four horns of Zechariah's vision. We see the great fulfillment of this prophecy before our eyes. The restoration of the Roman Empire keeps step with the restoration of the Jew. It is marvelous to behold the stately steppings of Jehovah on the program of world events. The revival of the Roman Empire cannot come without the revival of the Jew. They both must be actually in existence at the same time, and the hour is at hand for them both to appear. The revived Roman Empire will attempt to resume its former domination over the restored Jewish kingdom, and the Lord will allow it for almost 7 years because of the continued unbelief of his people. But when the horns begin again to fray, so that no man dare lift up his head, as they have done and will do, the Lord will come to the help of his earthly people. They will be broken and contrite, and will cry unto him in their distress, and he will hear and deliver. Israel is indestructible, as the centuries have proven. The bush may burn, but it is not consumed, as the Jew before our eyes is the evidence. All the nations of the world, we have not a doubt, have at some time in their history afflicted Israel. They made deep and long furrows upon their back, Psalm 129:3. Canaanite, Philistine, Midianite, Edomite, Amalekite, and other small powers alone, and also united with the great kingdoms of Egypt, Syria, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome, and plowed upon them. But where are these great powers? They have passed as ships in the night, but Israel, the nation of destiny, remains. They did not prevail over them. But someone may ask, what does the peculiar designation of the chosen people, Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem, in Zechariah 1, verse 19, signify? It refers to the whole nation of Israel, which for a specified time has been rent asunder and divided. The 10 tribes were taken away first, but Judah, Benjamin also, continued for some time after, but which later was also scattered when Jerusalem, the city and religious center of the nation, was overthrown by the Gentiles. They all shared the same fate, being destroyed and scattered by the horns of the Gentiles. Hence, they are all included in the same hope of restoration and blessing. The 12 tribes of Israel will no longer be two separate kingdoms, but will be one under their one King and Lord, the true Son of David and Son of God. The four carpenters which Zechariah beholds simultaneously with the horns are now our subject. Literally, the word carpenters means workmen or smiths. See the Revised Version. The Hebrew word denotes a cunning workman or artificer in wood or stone or metal. The prophet is deeply interested in these skilled workmen, as his question implies. What come these to do? They probably were visioned with their tools in their hands, ready for the work. The answer comes immediately and may be thus interpreted. These carpenters, smiths, have come to fray and scatter the horns which have scattered Judah, so that no man did lift up his head. They shall cast out the horns of the Gentiles which lifted up their horn over Judah to scatter it. It is tit for tat, to speak plainly. As the horns have done to Judah in the way of horning and hurting this chosen nation, so shall it be done to them. But the question is, who are these carpenters and whom do they represent? The number four, as set over against the four horns, is suggestive of a counteracting power and teaches that for every enemy of the people of God, there is a friendly power able to destroy it. In the vision, the four carpenters being presented together, even as the four horns, might suggest the breaking down of the four world empires by the succeeding one, each in his turn. For instance, Cyrus of the Medo-Persian Empire cast down the Babylonian Empire. Alexander of Greece frayed the Persian, while Rome, coming on after, cast down the Grecian power. Rome, the most terrible, though used as the smith in relation to the preceding horn, still exists as the fourth horn. It never was frayed by an opposing or successive power. The fourth carpenter still waits to do his deadly work when Rome revives, which is the next thing on the program. Then there is another application of the four carpenters, which we believe is the true interpretation. The four horns represent not only each of the successive Gentile powers in order, but the last or the fourth in its revival form, having all the elements of all the preceding ones. Likewise, the carpenters represent not only the power manifested in the destruction of each of the previous four world dynasties, but all the power. It will be needed and will be found sufficient to destroy and cast down the mightiest empire of all former time, the devil-filled, devil-energized, usurping kingdom or confederacy of United Nations. This confederacy is shortly scheduled to appear and will be referred to as the United Nations. It will usher in the time of Jacob's trouble, of which the prophets ring the changes. They suggest phase upon phase of its horrors as well as its importance and place. It will be the climax of all the sorrow and suffering of Israel, the last great tribulation which has never been known from the beginning of the world until now, no, nor ever shall be. Matthew 24, verse 21, Revised Version. We have reference to this epical hour in the vision of Daniel. After this I saw in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and broke in pieces and stamped the residue with his feet. It was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Daniel 7, verse 7. In verse 24 of the same chapter, we learn that these latter signify 10 kings or kingdoms. Daniel tells us further of this terrible beast with the 10 horns. He was deeply interested. He says, "I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things." Daniel 7, verse 8. This surely was a most fascinating, if fearsome, vision to Daniel, but very instructive to us who are living down here in the end of the ages. It speaks of some special events of the very same time to which all these visions of Zechariah point. The beast with the horns represents the united world powers of those days, which will be spreading itself as the green bay tree in its pride and ruthless cruelty when the carpenters shall appear. The horn of the Gentiles, with all the might of all the other powers, which will be confederate with it, shall finally and forever be broken down, its power dissolved and cast out by the coming of the mighty world conqueror himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, with his church, seen as an army. Revelation 19, verses 11 through 21. That united company will be irresistible in might, unexampled in grandeur and glory, unparalleled in majesty and number. They will drive terror to the hearts of all who view their mighty march down from the corridors on high. Habakkuk gives us a glimpse of his coming. His words were unsurpassed for beauty and sublimity of expression. He views them as one figure, and that as of God. But it is the advent of Christ and his people which he sees. He tells us, "God came from heaven, and the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. And his brightness was as the light. He had horns coming out of his hand, and there was the hiding of his power. Before him went the pestilence, and burning coals went forth at his feet. He stood and measured the earth. He beheld and drove asunder the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction, and the curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. Was the Lord displeased against the rivers? Was thine anger against the rivers? Was thy wrath against the sea, that thou didst ride upon thine horses and thy chariots of salvation? Thy bow was made quite naked according to the oaths of the tribes, even thy word. Thou didst cleave the earth with rivers. The mountains saw thee, and they trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttered his voice and lifted up his hands on high. The sun and moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of thine arrows they went, and at the shining of thy glittering spear. Thou didst march through the land in indignation. Thou didst thresh the heathen in anger. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for salvation with thine anointed. And thou woundest the head out of the house of the wicked by discovering the foundation unto the neck. Selah. Habakkuk 3, verses 3 through 13. Yes, we say that Habakkuk saw the coming of the carpenters, but in another guise, another form. He saw them as God himself in their destructive fury and conquering march. His description is a poem in prose. He further informs us that he was so overcome by the awesome, glorious vision of that heavenly army that his belly trembled and his lips quivered. Rottenness entered into his bones. He begged that he might rest in the day of trouble when the Lord cometh unto the people to invade them with his troops. Habakkuk 3, verse 16. There will be nothing left of the four horns when these four carpenters wreck their house of cards, for so will all their united power appear in the eyes of the omnipotent Jehovah, and so will it fall at his rebuke. For which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. 1 Timothy 6:15. The child that was born and the son that was given shall be manifested as Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6. Whose goings forth are from of old. Micah 5, verse 2.